return is a reminder.
Good morning. Welcome to Braun Ministries, an intimate local Christian church with a worldwide impact. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. Thanks for listening to this Bible lesson. You may be wondering some things about Braun Ministries, like who is the God we worship, and what is our source of truth, and who is our enemies. Well, we're always happy to begin each lesson by answering these questions. We study the Bible to edify our faith. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20 says this: Jesus said to his disciples, "You couldn't cast the demon out because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I, the Lord Jesus Christ, say to you that if you have faith the size of a mustard seed," maybe you will, maybe you won't, you have a choice. "You will say to this mountain," which is any obstacle, "move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you." With the power of God behind us, we can't lose. Well, who is the God we worship? We worship a triune Godhead. There's one God who reveals himself to mankind as three separate, distinct, co-equal, co-infinite, co-eternal persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Father is the author of the triune Godhead's plan for all creatures. And when people you know are going through adversity, have you ever heard them say in frustration, "Well, I know God has a plan"? Well, they're right. God the Father has a plan for all mankind, and he has a personal plan for each one of us. Fortunately, his plan for our lives is designed to create comfort, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, where the Apostle Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us believers in Christ in our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God the Father." As we learn to weather the storms of life by trusting God the Father, we can comfort others with tried and true suggestions for how to get through the tough times. God the Son, our Lord, volunteered to execute God the Father's plan for salvation for all mankind by taking on human form as Jesus, the Christ, the Jewish Messiah. He is the one and only way to heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6 says this: "For us believers in Christ, there is but one God the Father, from whom all things come, and we exist for his good pleasure. And there is but one Lord, Jesus, the Christ, the Jewish Messiah, the one by whom all things are created, and we exist through the agency of him." When you invest your faith in the Lord, Jesus, the Christ, the Jewish Messiah, asking him to save you, by believing in him, you instantly have the resurrection life, eternal life in his name. We worship God the Holy Spirit. He is our mentor and teacher, the guide who is the rudder of a Christian's life. God the Holy Spirit gives us hope through his divine enabling power. God the Holy Spirit gives us a hope that is not like human hope, where we wonder if something's going to happen. "I hope so." It's a hope with absolute confidence that things will happen, because the hope is backed by a promise from God. Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says this: "And hope, which is the absolute confidence that comes from God the Father, does not disappoint, because the unconditional love of God the Father has been poured out within our hearts as believers in Christ through the enabling power of God the Holy Spirit, who was given to us by God the Father as a pledge of our inheritance. Well, what is our source of truth? As Christians, we develop a deep, intimate, and personal relationship with the entire Godhead through the study of the Word of God, which is the Bible. The study of the Word is how we get to know God, and it's important to get to know God as a person. At Barah Ministries, we teach the Word of God from God's perspective and not man's perspective, because we refuse to teach as doctrines the precepts of men. When the Word of God tells us something, it's a guarantee. Psalm 18, verse 30 says this, "As for God, His way is blameless. The word of the Lord is tried and true. The Lord is a shield to all who take refuge in Him." We can count on God to inform us and to protect us with His word. Well, who is our enemy? God has an enemy, Satan, whom God made the ruler of this world for a finite period of time. He is the enemy of believers in Christ as well. The Word of God warns us about our enemy in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. It says, "Keep on being of sober spirit. Keep on being watchful. Your adversary, the devil, Satan, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." No worries, as Deacon Denny would say. No worries, Mike. The Lord prepares us for the enemy's attack. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 advises us to pick up and put on the full armor of God so that you believers in Christ will be able to stand firm against the strategy of the devil. Satan is a schemer. In God's power, though, you can be ready for his flaming missiles. Today's Bible lesson, how do you act when you get something for nothing? Like God's grace. How do you act when you get something for nothing? Like God's grace. Well, if you can't get your head around God's unconditional love for you, then you'll never understand God. It's the thing that Christians have the most trouble with. They have so much trouble with being loved as deeply as God loves us. And quite often, we don't see ourselves as lovable because we know what wretches we are. So we project our feelings about ourselves to God. But God doesn't feel the same way about you that you feel about yourself. In today's lesson, we'll see the unconditional love of God in action as He gives us a way out of our predicament when we are ungodly, unrighteous unbelievers, which the Bible calls sinners. In John chapter 10, verse 9, the Lord describes Himself. "I, the Lord Jesus Christ, am the door. And if anyone enters through me," maybe you will, maybe you won't, you have a choice. That's a third class condition, if. "This one who enters through the door will be saved." Well, let's see how the Lord provides the door of our salvation. All right, let's hear some music. Sinners require a Savior. As the Lord told a self-righteous Pharisee in John chapter 3, verse 3, "Truly, truly, I say to you, Nicodemus, unless you are born again, the spiritual birth, you cannot see the kingdom of God the Father in heaven." Let's hear June Murphy remind us what it takes to be saved in her song, "Born Again."
Lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Once under condemnation, now I have been redeemed. Once in the dark, now in the light, because I have believed in the death and resurrection of the Christ who set me free. I have been born again, born again. I'm a my Father's mighty hand. I know I've been forgiven of each and every sin. Because I have believed in Christ who died and rose again.
Thank you, June. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying your absolute truth, the Word of God. Father, thank you for the power that radiates into us by studying the Word of God. Thank you for using your power to search the depths of each of us. Thank you for letting the Word of God reveal to us exactly how to be saved. Thank you for freeing us from wrath and condemnation by means of the cross of your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who shed his blood to save us. And thank you for God the Holy Spirit, our mentor and teacher, who baptized us, placing us into union with Christ. Let the Word of God in today's lesson penetrate to the depths of our souls. Help us to be edified by it, and help us to know that we cannot save ourselves, but you always stand ready to save whosoever shall believe in your Son. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit in Christ's name. Say it with me. Amen. Today's Bible lesson, how do you act when you get something for nothing, like God's grace? How do you act when you get something for nothing, like God's grace? We continue our study of Romans chapter 3. And as a reminder, here's what we've studied so far. In Romans chapter 1, verses 1 to 7, Paul gave the salutation. He introduced himself to the community of saints in Rome and thanked them for their dedication to the Word. And this was a church which he had never visited. In verses 1 to 8, or in Romans chapter 1, verses 8 to 15, we call it the affirmation. In the next 8 verses, Paul praises the saints in Rome for their dedication to God and the gospel message amid a pagan community in Rome. And it is a community that is as pagan today as it was back then. In Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, Paul communicates the main message of the letter. He says, "For I, Paul, am not ashamed of the gospel of God. For the gospel of God is the power of God the Father for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first chronologically, and also to the Greek, us Gentiles. Romans 1:17. For in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God the Father is revealed, from faith in the Lord for salvation to faith in the Lord for all things. As it is written, but the righteous man, and that's any believer in Christ, shall live by faith. The righteous man shall live by placing his complete confidence in the Lord. And then finally, the indictment and arraignment of the whole human race. The indictment and arraignment of the whole human race is Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to Romans chapter 3, verse 20. So here is a summary of the 14-count indictment of the whole human race. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 to 18. As it is written, there is no creature who is righteous before God, not even one. Romans 3:11, there is no creature who understands God or any divine thing. There is no creature who seeks for a relationship with God. God seeks you out. Romans 3:12, all creatures have turned aside from God. Together, they have become useless, and there's no creature who does good, not even one. Romans 3:13, their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they keep on deceiving. The poison of asps, which is a snake, is under their lips. Romans 3:14, their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Romans 3:15, their feet are swift to shed blood. They are murderers. Romans 3:16, destruction and misery are in their paths. Romans 3:17, and the path of peace they have not known. Romans 3:18, there is no respect for God before their eyes. This means you. Whether you are immoral, moral, or religious, you are not basically a good person. That's a lie from the pit of hell. So as we close out this third chapter of Romans, a breath of fresh air. For unbelievers and believers alike, the first three chapters of Romans are pretty tough to take. They tell us that all of us are born under the burden of sin, and as a result, we're spiritually dead, both because of Adam's sin credited to us and our own personal sinning, which makes us sinners who are unable to have a relationship with a righteous God. Being under sin makes us like the Titan Atlas from Greek mythology, who was described as carrying the weight of the world on his shoulders. And actually, what he was really carrying is the weight of the sky, the first atmosphere around the earth, the first heaven. But it's tough to accept that we're ungodly. It's tough to accept that we're unrighteous. It's tough to accept that we're helpless and hopeless from birth. Even for believers in Christ who are studying these three chapters, the news of our condition from physical birth is earth-shaking. Satan uses these chapters to make us wonder if we're really saved. Because if we're not saved, then we are targets of God the Father's wrath. We are condemned, and we're heading for the lake of fire. Well, in the next 11 verses, Romans chapter 3, verses 21 to 31, the burden of sin is lifted off the shoulders of all who believe in Christ. Let's listen to the passage, beginning at Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now, the best but in the world, that is just that transition is so stark. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness that comes from God has been manifested, being witnessed to by the Mosaic law and by the prophets, Romans 3:22. Even the righteousness that comes from God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. Amen. For there is no distinction. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:24. Being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Romans 3:25, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness because in the forbearance of God the Father, he passed over the sins previously committed. Romans 3:26, for the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just, God is fair, and so that he would be the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. Romans 3:27, where then is boasting? It's excluded. By what kind of law? Of works? No, but by a law of faith. Romans 3:28, for we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Romans 3:29. Or is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles also? Yes, of course, he is the God of the Gentiles also. That's why he sent the Apostle Paul to evangelize to the Gentiles. That's us. Since indeed, Romans 3:30, since indeed God, who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith, is one. He is one and the same God. Romans 3:31. Do we nullify the law through our faith? May it never be. On the contrary, we establish the law. When you were ungodly, unrighteous, helpless, and hopeless, incapable of saving yourself, completely unable to keep the Mosaic law, which is true of all my Jewish friends today, they follow the Mosaic law but are completely unable to keep the Mosaic law, and I think a lot of them just don't know what that means. Completely unable to keep the Ten Commandments. All my Roman Catholic friends are always talking about how important it is to keep the Ten Commandments, and they know good and well they haven't kept a single one of them. They are in a straitjacket of sin that you can't, yeah. Oh, but I haven't killed anyone. Yeah, that's right. That's right. If you do one, you've done them all. They are in a straitjacket of sin that you can't wiggle your way out of. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven, taking on human form to introduce another principle entirely, the righteousness gift that comes from God. And that's called grace. The righteousness gift that comes from God, offered to you free of charge. So the words, but now, in Romans chapter 3, verse 21, are a breath of fresh air for anyone studying Romans chapters 1 to 3. For since we can't save ourselves as sinners, because we're ungodly, unrighteous, unbelievers, our God introduces a way out of the predicament. The Lord Jesus Christ is the door through his work, through his shed blood on the cross. Now, it would be easy to fly through these 11 verses, but that would be to miss the gloriousness of this resting place on the promises of God. Thus, the question that is the title of this lesson, how do you act when you get something for nothing, like God's grace? It's fun to watch what happens when people are offered something for nothing. It always causes suspicion. Because people can't resist the do-it-yourself life. Oh, you don't have to do that. Oh, no, I could never accept that. People hate help. In other words, when we're generous with people, they are always afraid that it obligates them to something. It's really funny because when I fly, I love teasing people. And when people are passing by me, if they're holding a pizza box and you can just smell that good pizza coming, I'll say, hey, do you want me to hold that for you? And they get a good laugh. Or if they have Starbucks in their hand, I'll say, hey, you want me to hold that Starbucks for you? No, I got it. No, come on, I'll do it. So what's funny is every once in a while, people will offer me a piece of pizza. You know what I do. Hell yeah, absolutely. Do you want a piece? Yes. And it's especially nice to get it from women, because if you get it from a guy, you know what it is. It's sausage or it's pepperoni. If you get it from a woman, it's mozzarella with tomatoes and basil and all these phenomenal, this just phenomenal pizza. And I'm still, my mouth is water and still thinking about the last time I did that, when these ladies gave me a piece of pizza, I wanted to just grab the whole box and eat the whole pizza. So when you get something for nothing, you don't have to be suspicious about it. You could actually realize that people who do that are people who care about you. That's God. God wants to give you salvation for free, and all he requires is that you don't try to do any of the work. You just let him do everything. Let him carry you, because with God, there is no obligation. He gives us something, salvation, for nothing, and you get it by a simple request from you that is powered by your faith. And even that faith is a gift from God. So in the next passage of study, you'll learn that you are justified by God based on your faith. That's what this passage is about. Romans chapter 3, verses 21 to 31. This is about justification by faith. You want to be saved? The first three chapters tell you there is nothing in you that's good enough to save you. You can't save yourself. I know so many people who are so cool, who are so enamored with a religion that is telling them that they can save themselves and they can earn their salvation. And their faces just flash in front of me as I'm preparing to teach a lesson, and I'm thinking, oh God, please wake them up. Please wake them up. God the Holy Spirit, please convict them in such a way that they'll listen to it. Send them somebody that they'll listen to. So, self-righteousness is putrid. Thinking you can save yourself by keeping the law, which you can't do, is ridiculous. The law came from God, but keeping the law was never intended by God as a way to save you. The law served its purpose, to make your transgressions increase. When there is a law, you will have an intense desire to break it, according to Romans chapter 5, verse 20, which says this: the law came in alongside sin so that the transgressions, law-breaking, would increase. But where sin, law-breaking, increased, God's grace overflowed to us all the more. The Lord provided grace abundantly in the presence of sin. Now, only an idiot would think that because God has paid for our sins, that is license to sin. It is not license to sin. It's license to serve. It's license to be smart and to know that when God says he doesn't want you to sin, it's because he doesn't want you to hurt yourself. The law was designed to make us aware of our sinful condition in the eyes of God. And if you don't think you're a sinner, if you've never studied the first three chapters of Romans, and you don't think you're a sinner, why would you think you need a Savior? The first three chapters of Romans make it clear beyond a reasonable doubt that you are a sinner from birth, and until you place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation, you are the target of the wrath of God the Father, and that is a horrible fate. Romans chapter 5, verse 21 is even more powerful. It says, so that as sin reigned as king in death for those in union with Adam, and that's all of us at physical birth, even so, by means of his grace, we believers in Christ would reign as king because we're co-heirs with Jesus through God's imputed righteousness. At the moment of your salvation, God credits his righteousness to your account free of charge, and that is your admission ticket to heaven. Imputed righteousness, a free gift that comes from being in union with Christ. And we reign with the resurrection life, eternal life, because of our union with Jesus the Christ, our Lord. But now, the righteousness that comes from God. Powerful words. God the Father gave us believers in Christ a blessing that is beyond our wildest dreams. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, God the Father made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf so that we believers in Christ might become the righteousness of God in union with him. You believers in Christ have the righteousness that comes from God. Did you wake up this morning and look at yourself in the mirror and say, hey, you beautiful person who is the righteousness from God? No, you didn't. You're in union with Jesus Christ, believers in Christ, and as a result, you can breathe. You don't have to keep the law to be saved because the law can't save you. Legalists, hello? That was not the law's purpose. And there are a lot of religious Christians walking around today. Oh, you shouldn't do that. Oh, you can't do this. Do this, do that, do this, do that. That is not Christianity. There is a life way beyond right and wrong, and that life is called Christianity. And what is it? Christianity is a relationship with Christ. Christianity is a set of standards that we voluntarily live up to because of the love that we have for Christ, that we return to Him when He has sent it to us. It's as simple as that. You count on Christ to be saved. You are justified by your faith in Christ. And when you believe in Christ for your salvation, you are no longer the target of God the Father's wrath. Instead, you are a child of God the Father. Well, when we return from the break, we'll take the offering, and then we'll look at the first four verses of this powerful passage, verses that give us hope. Take a five-minute break.
Why you ever chose me? There's always been a mystery. All my life I've been told I belong at the end of the line with all the other not quite, with all the never get it right. But it turns out they're the ones you were looking for all this time. 'Cause I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
When Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a sword fight, you picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world. Well, the moral of the story is everybody's got a purpose. So when I hear that devil start talking to me, saying, who do you think you are? I say, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. For the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world.
Welcome back. Today's Bible lesson, how do you act when you get something for nothing, like God's grace? How do you act when you get something for nothing, like God's grace? Well, God the Father gives. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 and 32 say this: if God the Father is for us believers in Christ, and he is, who is ever going to be successful in opposition against us? And of course, the answer is no one. Romans 8, 32, God the Father, who amid his feelings of wrath did not spare his own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, but delivered him over for us all. How will God the Father, now that we're in union with Christ, not also freely give us all things? He will. Since God the Father is willing to give, let us not be conflicted about giving. Be generous with the financial gifts the Lord has given you. You'll be supporting God's ministry so that we can provide the Word of God and the gospel message free of charge to people all over the world who need to hear about the Lord. Let's welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall with one of his always inspiring offering messages.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Denny Goodall, and I'm blessed to be a deacon here. I'm thankful to be a deacon here because I know that sometimes we hear the truth or we may say the truth, but that doesn't make us enemies. Because sometimes you tell somebody the truth and it hurts their feelings. Like, how about the first time you heard that you're a sinner and you can't save yourself? You don't seek God. There's none righteous, not one. I don't know. My feelings were hurt. I didn't know I could do anything. It's all on God at that point. Well, you know, I think about growing up, and I remember the first time I slept over at a friend's, and I had some French toast that wasn't my mom's. And I let my friend's mom, Laura, hear it. I said, yeah, it's all mushy on the inside. Told her the truth. And I hurt her feelings. I think she hates me still to this day. But I was trying to help. You know, the truth hurts, and I think her French toast has improved since then, I hope. You know, and then that same scenario happened to me later in life. I was at the University of Iowa going through going through art school, and I did a sculpture out of metal, and it was one of my first welding projects. It was really simple, and I said it was a tree falling to the ground. And somebody in my class said it looked like a skeleton with no leaves. And it hurt my feelings because, it looked like a tree to me, but it was really basic and it was not very well thought out, and I was trying to do minimal effort and get a good grade, and they called me out. Hurt my feelings, but it was true. So I knew I had to improve. So how about religion? When you hear that you can't save yourself, or when you hear that everything you've done is the wrong thing, you know, saying your sins to a priest, praying to Allah, praying to whoever, some kind of sun god, a moon god. How does any of that help? Being superstitious. I used to be superstitious. You know, in baseball, I'd wear the same underwear or wear the same shirt, and it was like, oh, I got some hits. So, and then somebody told me, you stink. You know, thank you. I'll change. And so I think we see that in the Bible, and it's true. Jesus dealt with the same thing. Galatians chapter 4, verse 16. So have I become your enemy by telling you the truth? Hopefully not, because today you should give, and that's the truth. Today you should give to help Barah Ministries. You should help give to help Christ. Give to help get the Word of God out. Give to give the gospel. The gospel needs to be heard around the world, and that's what we do here. So thank you for always giving to support this ministry, and let's hear the truth more and more to each other. Give the truth to your family. It might hurt. You might make yourself their enemy, but it shouldn't be. If they love you, then they shouldn't be your enemy. So we love you guys. God bless Pastor Rory. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to John. Happy birthday. Who else am I missing? Norbert. This is a busy week. We're going to have some gifts coming to Amazon. So thank you all, and God bless Barah Ministries. Thank you.
Thank you, Deacon Denny, for a great message. Today's Bible lesson, how do you act when you get something for nothing? How do you act when you get something for nothing, like God's grace? Well, welcome back. Let's continue our study of the last passage of Romans chapter 3. And as you study the Word of God, it's a good idea to see how different translations render a passage. You know, we study primarily from the New American Standard Version, but there are a lot of versions, the New International Version, the King James Version, the New Living Translation, and all of them give a little different perspective. There is Ken Wiest, who has an expanded translation of the New Testament, and he's phenomenal at really getting at what the Greek of a passage is saying. So I thought today that I would share the New Living Translation with you, because I do this in my own studies all the time just to get a little perspective on what's being said. So here's how the New Living Translation of the Bible translates Romans chapter 3, verses 21 to 31. It says, "But now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago." Romans 3:22, "We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who he is. With God, there is no partiality." Romans 3:23, "For everyone has sinned. We all keep on falling short of God's glorious standards." Romans 3:24, "Yet God the Father, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. And he did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins." Romans 3:25, "For God the Father presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin." People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood for us. The sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. Romans 3:26, "For God the Father was looking ahead and including all of us in what he would do in this present time. God the Father did this to demonstrate his righteousness, for he himself is both fair and just, and he makes sinners right in his sight when they believe in Jesus Christ." Romans 3:27. "Can we boast then that we've done anything to be accepted by God? No, because our acquittal is not based on obeying the law. It's based on faith." Romans 3:28. "So we are made right with God, that is, justified, through faith in Christ and not by obeying the law." Romans 3:29. "After all, is God the Father the God of the Jews only? Isn't he also the God of the Gentiles? Of course he is." Romans 3:30. "There's only one God, and he makes people right with himself only by faith, whether they are Jews or Gentiles." Romans 3:31. "So if we emphasize faith, does that mean we can forget about the law? Of course not. Don't be silly. In fact, only when we have faith do we truly fulfill the law." So let's look at the depth of the first four verses of Romans chapter 3, beginning at verse 21. It says this, "But now, apart from the law, another principle entirely, the righteous gift that comes from God, which has been made clearly visible by God through the convicting ministry of God the Holy Spirit. In addition, being witnessed to by Moses in the Mosaic Law and in the sacrificial offerings, and witnessed to by the Old Testament prophets in direct statements." We could spend a month studying that verse alone. In the spiritual life, your works don't work. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 18 and 19 say this, "For on the one hand, there is a setting aside of a former commandment because of its weakness and uselessness." That's a great description of the law. That's a great description of the Ten Commandments. They're weak and they're useless to do anything but what they were designed to do, which was to let us know that we're sinners. "For the law made nothing perfect." You have to be perfect to get into heaven, and the law can't make you perfect. You can't make you perfect. Hebrews 7:19. And on the other hand, there is a bringing in of a better hope. And the better hope is God's righteousness, through which we draw near to God. There is man's law obedience, which makes nothing perfect. And there's God's righteousness gift, which makes all who have it perfect. Another principle entirely. Our sin debt is canceled by the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, what's it like? You know, one of my favorite TV shows is Undercover Boss. And the other day, there was a guy on who was a dishwasher at a restaurant. And Drew Brees was under the cover, undercover. He's a professional NFL, former NFL quarterback. He was undercover in a series of restaurants that he bought into. And he was interacting with this guy and found out the guy had $30,000 of college debt. And he had to quit school to take care of his family. And so here he is in this dishwasher job, probably making about $15 to $20 an hour, with $30,000 of debt. And Drew Brees paid off the loan, $30,000. And, you know, that's one of the things I love about Undercover Boss is the end when everybody's crying like a baby because people are being generous. And it's just fun to see that we could be generous with each other that way and really make a difference. So when we were ungodly, unrighteous sinners, we were in Adam and in the flesh, thus doomed. But now, as believers in Christ, another principle from God entirely. Because of our faith in Christ, we are now in union with Christ and in the Spirit. God paid off our sin loan, asked nothing of us in return. Romans chapter 8, verses 8 and 9 say this, and those who are in the flesh, and that's all unbelievers, that was us when we were unbelievers, in the flesh, cannot please God. Why? Because we're on the wrong side of a barrier, because we're spiritually dead. And when you're an unbeliever and you're spiritually dead, you can't please God, you can't have a relationship with God until you place your confidence in the Son. Romans 8, 9. However, you believers in Christ are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit. One of the things that irritates me is to hear Christians say they are sinners. You are not. You are saints. You are not sinners. Get it through your head. You sin, but you are not a sinner. However, you believers in Christ are not in the flesh. You're in the Spirit, indwelled by God the Holy Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God indwells you. And of course he does. First class condition, if and it's true. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, and unbelievers don't, that one, the unbeliever, the unregenerate one, does not belong to Christ. And that is horrible when you don't belong to Christ. As believers, we're in union with the risen Christ. I know my Redeemer lives. That's what Job said. We stand on resurrection ground, which is victorious ground. The Lord makes his believers righteous. And as a result, we're completely acceptable in his eyes. Christ's work on the cross did not cover sin like the sacrifices of the Old Testament did. Christ's work on the cross put away sin from God's sight once and for all time. As far as the east is from the west, I will not remember your sins. Jesus delivered us from spiritual death to spiritual life, from darkness to light, from law to grace. Galatians chapter 2, 19 says this, "For through the Mosaic law, I died to the law, so that I might live to God through the power of his righteousness." Jesus is eager to declare a guilty person not guilty. He wants to acquit you. Romans chapter 3, verse 22. The righteousness gift that comes from God is a righteousness that comes through the principle of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and not through the principle of faith in yourselves for righteousness. Self-righteousness is putrid. And if you don't know what putrid means, it means stinky. And that free gift is available for whosoever believes, for there is no distinction between Jews and Gentiles. We're all one through our faith in Christ. God doesn't demand righteousness from a sinner, because God would not demand from us something we can't deliver in the matter of salvation. God gives us a lot more we can handle, but not in the matter of salvation. He credits righteousness to sinners, and he does it while they're still sinners. That's just mind-blowing to the ultimate degree. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. See it closely. Hear it. God the Father demonstrates his own unconditional love toward all mankind, and that while we were yet sinners, while we were unbelieving, while we were unrighteous, while we were ungodly ones, the Lord Jesus Christ died as a sin substitute for us. He died for the very people who were smacking him in the face and spitting on him and beating him with a whip that had nails at the end of it and hanging him on a cross. He died for them as well. So when we exercise our faith, we are trusting God to do everything for us. We are counting on what he has done and not on what we can do. Why? Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned in the past when Adam sinned, and all keep on sinning, and all keep on falling short of the glory of God. Or as the New Living Translation says, what? Ouch. Yep, there's the truth. You know the truth. The truth will set you free. Amen? So whether or not you have realized it yet, you keep on sinning after salvation. And that does not make you a sinner, for a sinner is an unbeliever. You believers in Christ are saints. I can't say it to you enough. What your continuous sinning alerts you to is your dependence on God. There's no one you would want to depend on more than him. Romans chapter 3, verse 24. Yet all believers in Christ keep on being justified by God the Father as a gift, free of charge, from his grace, through redemption, which is a result of being in union with Christ Jesus. Redemption. We have been purchased from sovereignty to sin. We are no longer slaves. We are children of the Most High God. Our salvation is not based on being good or keeping commandments. Our salvation is based on the work of Christ on our behalf. Romans chapter 15, verse 13 encourages us. Now may the God and Father of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope through the enabling power of God the Holy Spirit. What a great start to the final passage of Romans chapter 3. When we were dead in our transgressions, seeing our pitiful condition, the Lord came to earth to rescue us so that we would have hope. We'll continue the study of Romans chapter 3 in our next lesson. We'll also in that lesson, not the recorded lessons, but the lesson on April 28th, we'll also celebrate the Lord's Supper, because we won't get to celebrate it in the next 2 weeks. Well, the closing moments of this lesson could be the 10 most important minutes of your life. You'll be introduced to the good news concerning how you can spend all eternity in heaven when you close your eyes in this life. We want you to know that God wants you. And what he wants from you is that you make the most important decision of your life. The Savior of the whole world is Jesus Christ, and he wants everyone, including you, to be saved. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 say this. This is what is good and acceptable in the sight of the God who is our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who wants all men to be saved and who wants all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. Here are 7 things for every unbeliever to consider when investigating a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Point 1, there is a God, and he is the creator of the heavens and the earth. The first 4 words of the Bible confirm his existence. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God. It's a reference to God the Son. The Hebrew words, Jehovah Elohim. The Lord isn't shy about telling you who he is. Joel chapter 2, verse 27, I am the Lord your God, and there is no other God. God the Son is the creator, according to John chapter 1, verse 3, which says all things came into being through the Lord, God the Son. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Point two, the creator created you. You are one of God's creatures, and he had a purpose in mind when he created you. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God the Father said, let us, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, make man in our image, according to our likeness. You are a spiritual being, and as such, you require a spiritual life. Point three, God has a plan for all mankind. God is organized. Acts chapter 2, verse 23 tells us that the earth and the universe were created by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God the Father. In addition, the Lord Jesus Christ was sent to save you by means of the same predetermined plan and foreknowledge. God the Father made all of his decisions in eternity past, and we watch them unfold every day. His plan is designed for your benefit. Point four, God has a personal plan for you. Because God created you, God knows you intimately. He knows you by name, and he knows you better than you know yourself. Matthew chapter 10, verse 30 says this, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. God custom made you, and he custom made a life designed specifically for you. Point five, God reveals himself in ways that make sense to human beings. God wants you to know him. He is not hiding from you. He is not hard to get to know. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 says this, since the creation of the world, the Lord's invisible attributes, his eternal power, and his deity keep on being clearly seen by everyone, being understood even through what has been made as reflected in nature. God puts himself inside of you and puts things outside of you to surround you and to let you know he's there, so that all mankind is without excuse in knowing of the existence of God. God does not work in mysterious ways. He works in completely predictable ways. And the Apostle Paul describes the Lord Jesus Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. I, the Apostle Paul, delivered to you as of primary importance the gospel message I also received from God, that it was Jesus Christ who died for our sins according to the Old Testament scriptures. And he was buried and he was raised from the dead in resurrection on the third day according to the Old Testament scriptures. Point six, God's enemy, Satan, does not want you to know God. Satan does everything he can to keep you ignorant about God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 says this, the god of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel, so they might not see the glory of the Christ, the Jewish Messiah, who is the exact reflection of God the Father. Are you aware of the ways Satan is lying to you about the Lord? If you reject a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll live with Satan for all eternity. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10 says this, and the devil who deceived unbelievers was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also, and all of them will be tormented day and night forever and ever. You do not want to live for all eternity in the lake of fire. Point seven then, you owe God a hearing. Since God created you, at least you need to consider his salvation offer. He has placed a desire inside of you to know him. He sends this message from the outside so that you can know him. He has you surrounded, and he knows that you don't seek him out, so he keeps on seeking you out. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11 says this, the Lord has made everything appropriate in its time. He has also set a desire for a knowledge of eternity in everyone's heart. Do you spend any of your time getting to know the Lord? There's nothing more important for you in this life than a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, verse 12 says this, "But whosoever accepts a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, to them the Lord gives the right to become children of God the Father, even to those who believe in Jesus Christ's name." Acts chapter 16, verse 31 says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved by God, you and everyone in your household who also believes." To believe means to accept God's word for what it takes to be saved. God says the one way, the only way to get to heaven is through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said to the doubting apostle Thomas, "I am the way to salvation. I am the truth through the gospel message and the word of God, and I am the resurrection life, eternal life. And no one comes to God the Father in heaven but through believing in me." John chapter 3, verse 36 offers an invitation and a warning. "He who believes in the Son has eternal life, the resurrection life, right at that moment. But he who does not obey the command to believe in the Son will not see the resurrection life. Instead, the wrath of God, the lake of fire, abides on him." Being saved is pretty simple. Consider these things and get to know the Lord today. Do it now. Let's close with some music. When your hope is in God's promises, he never disappoints. Here's June Murphy to remind us in song that there's just one hope. Jesus.
Darkness and great despair, you can be freed from its power, there's no doubt. God's word reveals the one and only way out. There's just one hope, there's just one faith, just one baptism, one Lord, one way to get to heaven, one hope. There's just one faith, one so great salvation, the Father's way to get to heaven. It's Jesus, through God the Son, Jesus. He is the way, the only way. Christ paid for all sins with on the cross, was resurrected, so no one need be lost. His work is finished, there's nothing you need do except believing in what he's done for you. There's just one hope, there's just one faith, just one baptism, one Lord, one way to get to heaven, one hope. There's just one faith, one so great salvation, the Father's way to get to heaven. It's Jesus, through God the Son, Jesus. He is the way, the only way. God wants none to pay. Can accept or reject. one way to get to heaven. It's Jesus, God the Son, Jesus. He is the way, the only way. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. You will be saved. There's only one. Christ, he's the only hope, the only way to heaven.
Thank you, June. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you for a life-changing book, the Bible, the Word of God. And thank you for a life-changing gift, the righteousness that comes from you, our God and Father. As believers in Christ, we have fixed our hope on you and your word, and the Bible is a constant source of hope. Thank you for the lesson today, which reminds us to go deeper than the surface in our study of the word so that we can rest in you without the burden of sin and expectations on our shoulders, especially the expectations that we have of ourselves, which we never fulfill. Encourage us through God the Holy Spirit to proclaim your gospel message everywhere we go. And help us to remember that when we are evangelizing, it is God the Holy Spirit who's doing the work, not us. So help us to trust him. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit in Christ's name. Say it with me.
Amen.
Amen. So make it a habit to listen to the announcements. They're posted separately. Keep current on things going on and coming up in Barah Ministries. We will resume the discussion of the lesson in prayer circle when I return on April 28th. Got biblical questions? Ask the pastor at BarahMinistries.com. Pastor@BarahMinistries.com. Need prayer? Send a note to pastor@BarahMinistries.com. Keep on studying the Word of God daily. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.